from Game of Thrones, as we know, associated with Northern Ireland, to Frozen, from Harry Potter to playing Caesar in the TV series Rome, not to mention a prolific theatre career. My next guest has done it all. Ciarán Hinds, thank you very much for joining us this morning. And you're coming to the Kilkenny Arts Festival Week to perform in Stravinsky's The Soldier Tale. Can you tell us a little bit about it and how you got involved in it?
I can indeed. Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
I'm looking forward to it very much because Kilkenny is a place I haven't really been in a pass-through when I was a kid, I think. But my sisters and mother always talked about what a wonderful festival it was, so I'm delighted to have the chance to finally get there myself. But the whole idea of this performance of The Soldier's Tale is kind of the brainchild of a wonderful violinist called Joanne Quigley McParland, who used to be first violinist and acting leader of the RTE Symphony or Concert Orchestra. And a few years back, she formed a small, flexible chamber orchestra called the Fuse Ensemble. It's based in South Armagh and South Down. And it's called the Fuse because that was an old historic name for the region of South Armagh, where she's from.
Nice.
And she has this, you know, it's been going, I think, 4 or 5 years. It's a flexible chamber orchestra, and she's able to invite sort of some world-class musicians and principal leaders from European orchestras, and they can play sometimes symphonies or quartets or give recitals, and it's fantastic for the people of South Down and South Armagh, where where they mostly play.
Right.
And how we met, I suppose that's what we're on to now, is about 8 or 9 years ago, I was involved in a production of Juno and the Paycock at the Abbey Theatre, and I was asked to go on a programme, which you'll know, Miriam Meets with Miriam
O'Callaghan. Yeah.
And my sister, Brona, I went on with my sister, Brona, who's a great proponent of women's rights here and in Europe, and we had to choose 3 pieces of music, and Brona chose, as I remember, We Shall Overcome by Joan Baez.
Right.
And I chose Light My Fire by The Doors. You could tell we were children of the 60s anyway. and then we decided together, jointly, that we would choose The Coolin, which is an old
Irish air.
Here played by our Irish dance teacher, Patricia Mulholland, up in Belfast when we were younger. So we chose this piece, and during the show, Miriam tells us they couldn't get hold of a decent recording of The Coolin. And so this poor, unfortunate woman was dragged in from next door with a violin in her hand, who was there with the RTE Orchestra, who happened to be Joanne Quigley at that time.
Nice.
And she gave the most beautiful and touching rendition of The Coolin. And that's how we met. Weirdly.
Wow.
Sort of live on radio, which here I am again.
That's an interesting way to meet somebody. And good for her that she could just at the drop of the hat go in to the studio next door.
And yes, indeed, they were there rehearsing for something.
Yeah.
I think they must have mentioned it to her before. Would you just have a look at this tune, because we need you to play it. We can't get our hands on a copy. So, and from then, I went to see her play in an orchestra. She came to see a play, and she mooted this idea of The Soldier's Tale maybe about 5-6 years ago. And but she didn't know when or if it could materialize. And in the meantime, she's had 2 lovely children, and then about a year and a half ago, she got in touch with me and said, how are you doing in your schedule for next autumn? And at this stage, I was rather tired because I've been working quite a bit. And I decided, well, if I could put some time aside, this might be a really interesting adventure to go on for me, because I'm not really close to any classical music.
Right.
And so I committed to it, and then we kind of made it happen, and we performed it the first time last year, just 3 performances up in the north, in Belfast and in Warren Point Town Hall, and Seamus Heaney's centre, the home place.
Right. And tell me about it itself. It's kind of based, it sounds a bit like Faust in a
yeah.
sense.
It is rather. It's. I mean, Stravinsky, and he librettist or who wrote the story called Ramus, and he wrote it in Switzerland 100 years ago, and he wasn't in Russia then, he was in Switzerland, and it's sort of thought that he was broke because he had done the great Rite of Spring and Firebird and Petrushka with the Russian ballets, which really announced him to the world. And they think he was kind of broke, and he thought, well, if I could compose this, there's only seven in the orchestra, because it's composed of seven musicians, then I might make some money on it. And so he composed this rather extraordinary music, and had this basically to be read, played, and danced.
Right.
The music.
Yeah.
There are three main characters: a narrator, a soldier, and a devil. And that's, as you mentioned, Marianne, about the Faustian part.
Yeah.
And normally they're played by three people, but due to budgetary constraints, I'm afraid they're stuck with me.
So you're doing all three?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm playing the narrator. So I'm sort of, it's in a form of storytelling about how you take on characters while you narrate a story. And we're fortunate to have a dancer, a lovely dancer called Emily Ayers, who's going to join us and interpret some of the music. But we have no conductor and no director, no choreographer, so we've all sort of...
I was astounded.
Self-created, and then had to pay so much attention to each other because there's nobody guiding us. So we have to all really try and take in exactly what's going on with everyone else.
And is that a wonderful freedom, or is that a scary uncertainty?
It is exactly both. Because it is where nobody is actually saying this has to be here. You have to find it yourself, and you have to, because obviously the music is so ordered and so structured, even though it's atonal and dynamic, it's so structured. So I mean, we just really have to connect. Everyone has to connect and really listen to each other. And it's a very simple story, you know. It's like from an old Russian folktale where a soldier is on leave from the war. He's trying to get home, and he comes across an old man who suggests he swap his old violin for a book that could make him very rich. And it turns out that the old man is the devil, and he leads him a merry dance. But the soldier kind of turns the tables, and just when you think it's all going to end happily, it doesn't.
Right. I guess I'm not going to get any more from you on that.
No, I think people should maybe come and see it and see for themselves.
Right. Indeed, or read it. But I gather there's a lot of dialogue, and you're doing all three.
Yes, I am. Yeah, like a score for a musician, I come out with a copy of it, and I try and get away with just using it as a prompt copy if I need it. I spent a bit of time on my own trying to assimilate it and get into my head. But of course, the older you get, the harder it gets. Just the idea of the old brain cells getting a bit fuzzy around the edges.
Yeah, but that's very good for the brain cells. Very good for the brain cells, because Gabe's some busy, busy, busy. But I'm going to skip on and then come back, because I was surprised to read that in Frozen. I mean, it's just because you're doing the voice as an accompaniment rather than acting the part, that in Frozen, you did your bits and pieces in London or Paris, I'm not sure which, and the others were, the production people were in LA, and you did the voice, and then they animated to the voice.
Yes, I mean, I was very surprised. I think I've done only one other animation, and I was before that, and that's when I was surprised the way they did it, because I always imagined you would see the animation would be created, and then you would voice it, which would include lip syncing, etc. With a very tight script. But what they do is they take the voice and then they create the animation around it from the interpretation, the vocal interpretation.
I thought that was extraordinary, I have to say.
Yeah, me too. I was very confused. I was going to look what's on the screen, and there's nothing. It says just use your imagination and play a scene. But it's very strange. It's probably the only time I've worked where you're not with the people you're working with, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I
do. You go into a small studio on your own, but it used to be disembodied voices coming out of a wall. But now, with technology, they can link cables so you can actually see them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, through Skype. And they kind of wave at you, and there's a 5-second delay in the sound.
Right.
But you can see them, they wave at you, they say hello, and you say hello. Then you go to work, and then there's always this gap when you wonder, are they going to say, that's great, that's just what we need? They're going to go like, right, so we need to go again. But it's that 5-second delay, because usually you'd know immediately.
Right, and, of course. Anyway, it's interesting how it works, and that will be on in Kilkenny. But I want to come back to ask you a couple of other things. You're based between, as I say, London and Paris. Does Brexit present a problem for you?
Well, I have... that's yet to be seen. I imagine it will at some stage. I mean, it sounds really pretentious, precocious to live between London and Paris, but that's just because of family. I'm married with a French Vietnamese woman, and we kind of operate this life between the sort of the Anglo-Saxon Celtic culture and the French culture. And I have to say, the Eurostar is a godsend for us, you know, just hopping on the train and getting over and back.
Yeah.
But you can see and smell kind of in the atmosphere this idea that things are changing, obviously, and that there's indeed like the problems at home, but the whole border nightmare of the border. They will have this problem on a daily basis between, I just say, London and Paris. Never mind. I mean, there's all the freight, as we know, and all the huge lorries and how they're going to check all that. But even just for passengers, the checking is going to go on, because it used to be quite fluid. You could use it and go on. I think, and also around my wife, but she holds a French passport. And my daughter, Aoife, has an Irish passport and a British passport. So she'd be easy enough to hop around.
She's that Derry Girl one.
Yeah, she did pop into Derry Girls. Yeah, they thought she was Taiwan, but she was actually an Oriental from Donegal. Yeah.
Because, as you said, your wife is French, Vietnamese. Yeah, it's going to be very unsettling to see which passports make life easier and how people's nationality will be viewed in ways that we really haven't had to think about for so long.
Yes, I think so. I mean, in a way, because of the you know, a previous agreement between Ireland and England, you know, we both have the rights. The British have the right. The English have the right to go over to Ireland and live in Irish in England. So that's a separate issue. So in a way, holding an Irish passport right now is the best of both worlds, I guess.
And that's why.
I mean, I've always carried one, but I know that people in the north who carried British passports are frantically getting in touch with their Dublin Embassy, I think.
Yes. Oh no. The applications for Irish passports from England as well, people of second or third generation, have really exploded. Now, just one last question for you before you go, and it is that in January this year you were among 300 theatre professionals, and you signed the letter complaining to the minister, Josepha Madigan, about co-producing shows in the Abbey Theatre. Why did you get involved in that?
An actor who I have great respect for got in touch with me and said, I don't know if you're aware, because you haven't been working in Dublin for a while, that there are some issues that the theatre community are having with the new directors of the Abbey, and it was about opportunities of work. And they made it clear. So I read a bit and got a bit of information, and on the basis of that, I put my name to it. Because, I mean, you know, obviously these issues are contentious, but, you know, being, and any artistic directors who come to take over a theatre do have to have the right to create what they believe in and what they want to take a theatre to. But it seems to me it's kind of imperative that it's not just taking over a theatre, it's the national theatre. It's the national theatre representative of Ireland and all its works. And the country has this extraordinary history of great writers and the dramatic art.
Yeah.
And it's just extraordinary for the size of it. And, you know, therefore...
But not a lot of women. I mean, I'm not saying none, I'm saying not a lot.
No, I know, but that needs addressed too, but I suppose the idea is with the new writing. I mean, when we go back into the history of the writers who have passed and then do them, whether it's Sheridan or Goldsmith or Wilde, Yeats, Beckett, They do those. That was part of the canon. But also the development of new writing, which is to really push forward the writing of women.
Nice.
I can see, because I sometimes check in with the other what the program is, I can see that, and I think Fiach Mac Nabe was also trying to develop new writing as well. It's a complicated thing, but the idea of, it should be also not just to do Irish literary works and international work, but also to nourish and develop and progress the arts and the culture of those who live in the country.
Right.
And, you know, whether it be designers and directors, and at the heart of it is the writing, really.
Yeah.
And that's the creative juice that makes everything work.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the last time you were on, you were in translations, and I gather it's coming back. There's writing for you now. Anyway.
Yeah.
Listen, Ciarán Hinds, thank you very, very much indeed. And I must say, the Kilkenny Arts Festival will take place from the 8th to the 18th of August. All details at kilkennyarts.ie. As I say, Ciarán Hinds will perform in The Soldier's Tale on the 13th and 14th of August at the Watergate Theatre as part of that festival. Ciarán Hinds, thank you very, very much indeed. And good morning to you.
A great pleasure, man. Lovely to hear you.
All the best. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye for now.